Karim Brown, live, online, smartphones, DSTV, and 92.7, and 106 FM.
8 minutes after 8 o'clock, President Cyril Ramaphosa has fired former SARS Commissioner Tom Moyane. Moyane was suspended in March after a string of controversies around his running of SARS, including a 50 billion rand hole in revenue collection in 2017 and a decline in taxpayer compliance under his watch. The President has heeded the recommendations of the Nugent Commission of Inquiry, which submitted its interim report at the end of September. Retired Judge Robert Nugent recommended that in order to stabilize the institution, President Ramaphosa should fire Mr. Moyane and replace him with a permanent commissioner. Well, I'm now joined on the line by Presidency spokesperson Kusela Diko. And of course, in a moment, you will also hear from former SARS spokesperson, Mr. Adrian Lekay. Ms. Diko, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Ms. Brown, if I may. Can I call you Karima?
You may. Now, I'm looking at the statement here. It says, President Cyril Ramaphosa, of course, terminated with immediate effect the appointment of Mr. Moyane. And it says the this follows the recommendation by the SARS Commission chaired by Judge Robert Nugent that immediate action is needed to forestall any further deterioration of our tax administration. So the President really applied himself to the overall well-being of the institution and, of course, Mr. Moyane's role in that crisis, Kusela.
Yes, indeed, Karima, and thank you so much for having us on the show. You will remember that when the President delivered the State of the Nation address earlier this year, he spoke to a number of institutions which were critical and indispensable as
yes.
part of, you know, our country's governance structures, if I can put it that, and SARS was at the center of that. So you would have established the Commission of Inquiry, which was supposed to look at tax administration and governance, but you also implemented a disciplinary inquiry against Mr. Moyane on a number of charges that were raised there. Now, the Nugent Commission gave its interim report, and interim in the sense that it was final on the recommendations that it made.
Yes.
So it was not provisional. There's no other report on the issues that that interim report speaks to. The President also afforded Mr. Moyane an opportunity to make submissions in terms of why he should not accept the recommendations or at least implement the recommendations of the Nugent Commission, primarily that Mr. Moyane should have his services as Commissioner of SARS terminated. Now, Mr. Moyane has made his submissions. The President feels that he has failed to put substantive reasons on why those recommendations should not be heeded and accepted. Mr. Moyane has also failed to answer to a lot of the allegations, the evidence that has come up in the commission and has made no attempt to clear up, I think, what you know would have been seen as systematic failures at the South African Revenue Service.
Ms. So Diko, you also say that the President says that the interim report on the Commission paints a deeply concerning picture of the current state of SARS and the reckless mismanagement which characterized your tenure as SARS Commissioner. And then it goes further. It says, of further and in many ways greater concern is your refusal to meaningfully participate in the SARS Commission in order to assist with identifying the root causes of the systematic failures at SARS and the ways in which to arrest these. Now, this has been at the root of the issue. Mr. Moyane essentially objected to the entire process. He felt that there couldn't be a disciplinary process as well as an overall look at SARS. He also then tried to say that in his disciplinary processes, he must have the right to oral submissions. So he fought procedurally, but the President actually says that he refused to meaningfully participate in the SARS Commission. And of course, that was a determining factor. How important an opportunity was this for Mr. Moyane to actually set the record straight from his point of view, had he used the opportunity differently, Ms. Diko?
Karima, it was very important. I don't think we can underscore its importance. Not only the Nugent Commission, but as well as the disciplinary process.
Mm.
Since beginning of, I think, not this year, when these processes would have started, all that Mr. Moyane and his attorney did was to engage in serious litigation. They would seek procedural grounds on which these particular inquiries should not proceed. In fact, to the extent that the attorneys representing Mr. Moyane have even confirmed that they were instructed to ignore the correspondence and the request for Mr. Moyane to appear before the commission. Now, the president is of the view that he has been provided ample opportunity for Mr. Moyane to clear up these allegations as they relate to him. In fact, I think Judge Nugent goes to the extent of saying, the day that Mr. Moyane joined the South African Revenue Services was a calamity for the institution.
Mm.
Now, those are very, very, you know, serious and very heavy words that you
yes.
think that, you know, somebody who has been put in that position would, you know, welcome the opportunity to respond to those allegations and the evidence that has been presented. Mr. Moyane has not done that. The president believes that taking this decision is in the best interest of the institution. As you were saying in your introduction, he seeks to stall any further deterioration within the institution, and he's intent on ensuring that all of its recommendations, including the speedy apparent, the speedy open and transparent appointment of the SARS commissioner, is effected as soon as possible.
And of course, that is what is going to occupy a lot of people's minds. In the meantime, Mr. Kingon stays on, but of course, we want the institution to have a permanent head, because the institutional rebuilding needs to start. And of course, there needs to be confidence in this institution. This is the institution that allows government to provide goods and services to citizens. What is the timetable, Ms. Diko, regarding the permanent appointment of a SARS commissioner? And more importantly, the institutional steps that are going to be taken to, regain public trust in this institution?
Mm. You know, Karima, the president is under no illusion, and I think Judge Nugent also made the point that the removal of Mr. Moyane is going to be a panacea to the challenges that face SARS. He has heeded the recommendations that says that the process must be open and transparent, but the SARS Act is silent in terms of a procedure that must be undertaken for the appointment of a SARS commissioner.
Mm.
So while in previous years you would have an advert going out, you would have a panel of ministers who would interview the candidates and make a recommendation, I think the president will still apply his mind to how best does he give effect to the call for an open and transparent process, and we can expect an announcement shortly around those technicalities.
When you say shortly, Kusela, are we talking a matter of days or weeks? What are we talking about?
It would be difficult for us to say, Karima, but we know that it is urgent. Restoring the credibility and public confidence in SARS is a matter that is top priority for the president. You will remember that not so long ago, he would have chosen a departure in terms of how he appoints the National Director of Public Prosecution. And I think at this point, he's just applying his mind to how best does he give, you know, and ensure that there's the relevant checks and balances in terms of the process that's utilized for the appointment of a SARS commissioner.
Mm.
So I can't say days, I can't say weeks, but I know that it is quite urgent.
Now, I spoke to Mr. Tito Mboweni, the finance minister. He's, of course, in New York attending a conference. He wasn't able to comment on this matter because he was literally busy doing a presentation. But there has to be a working relationship and a relationship of trust, of course, between the finance minister and the head of the revenue services. These organizations must work together. And of course, it was plagued with deep divisions and mistrust, which of course also led to the charging of former finance minister Pravin Gordhan. And many people believe that Mr. Moyane was behind that. How do you go about restoring the trust between the Treasury and the revenue services?
Well, the president is in constant communication with the finance minister on the issues relating to SARS, and he's well aware that, you know, these relationships that you speak about, not only with the National Treasury, with the Auditor General and other institutions, we have been IT and, you know, SARS to say the least. So as part of the rebuilding process, remember Judge Nugent still also has to finalize his report, which is going to go into what are the systemic failures, what could have been the reasons behind those failures, and how best do we ensure that we're able to put SARS, you know, back in the position that it used to hold as a world-acclaimed institution. So as that work begins, the president will continue to consult with the finance minister, with National Treasury as a whole, just in terms of working and getting that to order.
All right, Mustika, I know you're very busy, so a final question to you. Do you expect any legal backlash from Mr. Moyane? His attorney, Mr. Mabuza, didn't want to speak with us this evening. I suppose he's still conferring with his client, but are you ready for court action on the part of Mr. Moyane?
Well, Karima, the president does not sit, you know, itching to go to court on any matter that lands on his desk. However, Mr. Moyane, like any other citizen, is free to approach our courts for legal recourse where he believes he has a claim. The president will tomorrow file the answering affidavit to the Constitutional Court on the issues that Mr. Moyane has raised. Speaking, well, some of the issues now become moot because of the decision the president would have taken and implemented today to terminate his service with immediate effect. But he will speak to some of the procedural issues that Mr. Moyane had raised insofar as both the disciplinary hearing as well as the Commission of Inquiry, and set out his reasons in detail for why the decisions that he has made had been made.
All right, Kusela, I'm going to sneak in a naughty question simply because I have to. And we are speaking to the official opposition and to COSATU about this matter. Minister Gigaba was also dealt a blow today when the Constitutional Court ruled against him. He has been found by the public protector to have lied. He has been found by the courts to have lied. And of course, he's been involved in a massive personal, you know, PR nightmare. Any sense of the president applying his mind to this issue as far as Mr. Gigaba is concerned? Is he worried about the damage that Mr. Gigaba's reputation is suffering and as a consequence for the executive?
I'm laughing because it is a naughty question. Yes. Question as it relates to Minister Gigaba. And you remember that he's just come back from Germany.
Yes.
His response almost verbatim was that the public report, public protector's report has just landed on my desk. I will apply my mind to it. But I can say that the president takes the matters very seriously, especially where the public protector says that the code of ethics, which is supposed to regulate probity in the public service, has been violated. The president, I mean, wherever he makes the point that public servants, public representatives are supposed to uphold the highest levels of integrity, and the code itself speaks to the fact that they should not inadvertently or even deliberately mislead the president, the premier, the legislature, the courts, and society. So he is applying his mind to that. He will seek legal counsel on the options that are available to him. And as soon as he's done that, we'll be able to give more information in that regard.
Thank you very much. That is the presidency spokesperson, Ms. Kusela Dikokshin.
Good evening, Karima. Again, thank you for the opportunity. No, certainly I'm not punching my fist in the air and taking any form of personal gratification from this unfortunate saga. Because if you look at the medium-term budget policy statement of last week by the new Minister of Finance, it is very clear that as a country, we are in a very, very difficult fiscal position. We are still under-collecting revenue. I think the number estimated for under-collections this year is 27 billion. And in the next fiscal year, we will again fall short on revenue. And that affects all of us across the board. Some of us who are working, people who are unemployed. The real prospect is that we all today pay higher taxes because one individual, Mr. Tom Moyane, under his reign, There was a systematic breakdown of a very functional and efficient revenue system and revenue administration that was able to deliver the tax revenues to the Minister of Finance that was required year on year. And Moyani has caused substantial damage to the institution and to the careers of many, many people. So there's little to celebrate. We have come to this unfortunate situation where even the head of state, President Cyril Ramaphosa, consistently is being challenged through the abuse of due legal process by Mr. Moyane and his legal team in the most absurd manner. So on their side, there's no accepting of accountability that we've done wrong things. They are still displaying a measure of arrogance, which is completely unacceptable. And I think the president must be commended for taking his time through due legal process, instituting procedures like a disciplinary against Moyane, instituting the commission of inquiry by Judge Nugent, and then following due legal process to come to a decision that we see was announced earlier this evening.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Mr. Moyane didn't do all of this by himself. He had a lot of people that aided and abetted him. Among those are multinational companies from Bain to Hogan Lovells and a range of institutions. They have, of course, just vanished into thin air. And in the case of Bain, we actually see the grooming of Mr. Moyane way before he becomes the SARS commissioner. We see the introduction through Duma Kandlovo to former President Jacob Zuma, where this entire plot, if you like, was hatched to literally hollow out the institution. In your view, what should be happening to those multinational companies? Because there's always this idea that the state is weak and we don't have the right people, and to capacitate the state, we must get people from the private sector to beef up what the state is doing. But in this instance, the private sector, in at least four companies' cases, colluded with Mr. Moyane to hollow this institution out for the personal financial gain of themselves, the Guptas, the former president, his friends and his family.
I agree, and we know this now specifically because of the work of the Nugent Commission of Inquiry. It provided a legal platform and a legal basis for people to put evidence that was introduced into the public domain of how these companies actually conducted themselves. And in the case of Bain, you have a situation where they say, fine, we realize we've done wrong, we'll pay back the money to the state or to SARS in this instance. But the fact is still, they were probably irregularly appointed. Their work was highly irregular. These companies have their head offices in foreign jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point, there must be a higher level of accountability for your conduct, whether it is in South Africa or in the jurisdictions where you are actually resident. Because the damage that they've caused, like I said, to our country is immense.
Yes.
And you can't just expect us of taxpayers to be satisfied with, one, your apology, and number two, I will pay back the fees that I've earned from SARS. The fact is, if the Nugent inquiry was never instituted by the president, we would have been none the wiser. None of this information would probably have ever emerged or surfaced. So there was no attitude of, I am willing to make a disclosure for my part in dismantling this institution. It had to be forcefully extracted from the CEO of Bain in this instance, or Gartner a few weeks ago that appeared before the commission. There was no voluntary acceptance of the role or explanation to the South African public. And if we didn't have this commission, we would have never known, and life would have gone on. So yes, the reputations may suffer now, but I think we must all expect some real accountability. And whether it happens in South Africa, in the case of Bain in Boston, for Hogan Lovells, the law firm, wherever they are domiciled, I think we must keep up the public pressure and make sure that these institutions or organizations can be held to account in the countries where they are registered.
And what about the individuals that are implicated here in South Africa? Because a lot of listeners are saying, but when is someone actually going to be criminally charged? When is someone actually facing the very real prospect of going to jail?
Yeah, I think, I mean, taxpayers should, rightfully should demand consequences like that, that we can see the concrete actions being instituted, because at the end of the day, we feel the brunt for having to pay higher taxes. And until people appear before court, you know, taxpayers will say, well, why must we remain compliant in submitting our tax returns, in paying our taxes in full, when we don't see real consequences?
Mm.
But I think Ms. Diko also explained that there are real efforts from the side of the presidency to get a National Director of Public Prosecution in place, to restore some credibility both to SARS and to the NPA, so that actually there can be some proper investigations, that criminal charges can be brought against those implicated, and that we can see a better form of justice before the courts play out. That would give us a greater sense of gratification, because and this is also the case in many SOEs, not only in SARS.
Mm.
People are implicated. There's a body of evidence in the public domain that shows or that demonstrates how people were complicit, how they were actively involved in plundering, but no one has been charged.
Yes.
So if we just wind the clock back a bit. Mtlemeza is no longer at the Hawks.
Yes.
Sean Abrams is no longer at the NPA. Moyane is no longer at SARS. Those were decisive actions, at least in the last two cases, taken by the president to demonstrate that I said in my State of the Nation in February, this institution must be repaired, and I'm willing to act, and I'm willing to act decisively, but I'm willing to do so within what the law allows.
Yes.
So I think let's wait for proper appointments to be made, and those institutions at some point must demonstrate that they actually put the interests of the country first, in that they are able to show that people are face criminal prosecutions before court.
Now, the issue of Mr. Johan van Loggenburg, I phoned him earlier this evening to ask him if he wants to comment. And he actually said to me, you are welcome to say that you've asked me to come on and I have nothing to say about that man. And that man, of course, referring to Mr. Tom Moyane. But in the case of Mr. Pillay, he also said to me he's not able to speak about these matters because there is, of course, still the court cases. So what are the clouds that are still hanging over these individuals? I mean, now Mr. Moyane has been axed. We have the Nugent Commission of Inquiry, but there seems to be a lag between the outcomes of restoring the institutions and the justice that the people who are implicated and whose lives have been ruined is getting.
That is correct. Mr. Pillay, Mr. van Loggenburg, and another former SARS colleague, Mr. Jansen van Rensburg, they are still facing criminal charges before court. The next court appearance will be on the 8th of November. And these charges, of course, stem from a criminal complaint brought in May 2015 by none other than Mr. Moyane.
Yes.
So in his head, somehow, he has this fixation of this rogue unit that did illegal things. And despite the fact that between May 2015 and November 2018, these allegations were substantially disproved, or as a lawyer say disavowed, in the public domain, in legal processes before court and so on. And yet these charges still stick against Pillay, van Loggenburg, and Andries Jansen van Rensburg.
And not a single charge against Mr. Moyane.
Well, he's still scot-free. Able to, you know, literally abuse due legal process to frustrate proceedings against him, to avoid his day either in a disciplinary or before Judge Nugent to actually answer the allegations before him. It's ducking and diving, it's obfuscation, and using due legal process to avoid actually having to answer to serious charges against you. But that is how we've become, how we came to know the man. And that's the unfortunate part, that people you know, who have been unemployed since 2015, still face these criminal charges, and they've not seen justice, Karima.
Yes.
They should be back in public institutions with their experience, and as colleagues, I know how they work, I know their ethics, I know their capabilities. They should be back in the public sector institutions to help repair some of the damage that was caused by state capture. But they can't because they're criminal suspects before court.
Absolutely. Mr. Adrian Lekay, thank you very much. That's the former SARS spokesperson in his reaction, of course, to the dismissal by President Ramaphosa of the erstwhile head of SARS, Mr. Tom Moyane.